levels. I did some preaching on something I want to teach on for just a little while before we receive communion today. And we're under this umbrella of cultivating a greatly grateful heart. Our teachings are falling under all of them are subtopics under a topic of developing and cultivating a greatly grateful heart. This, as far as I know and as far as I can remember, has been the most preached message consistently that I have ministered. We interrupted it for a morning when God focused on the love of God and the love for each other. And yet at the same time, it's still under that umbrella, because loving God involves a grateful heart. There's no way, if you don't appreciate Him, that you're ever going to fall deeply in love with Him. It begins with a greatly grateful heart. So if you have your Bibles today, and I'll give you a scripture in just a few moments that we can turn to and get involved in His Word for just a little while. In the Jewish community, what we're going to talk about is called Yom Kippur. It is a high, holy Jewish holiday or holy day. And it's good news for the guilty and the condemned. One of the things that we wrestle with as Christians many times is condemnation. And oftentimes it's easier to get God's forgiveness than it is to forgive ourselves and get on past our failure or get past our past. It's real important that we understand what Jesus has done for us at the cross anew and afresh. And we get into it deeper and deeper. And let me just make some statements to begin this study with. God's love and grace triumphs over man's guilt and shame. How many are glad that God's love and grace triumphs over man's guilt and shame? If it wasn't for that, we could be forgiven, but we could never be clear in our heart and our conscience. And there would always be that door for the enemy to come in. Now, let me tell you something about your enemy that you need to know. We've all often seen this in a power struggle between two near equal powers, and nothing could be farther from the truth. Satan is not as powerful as God. Number one, he's not a creator. Everybody say he's not a creator. He's a fallen angel. Angels do not have creative power. They have power to do certain, but they don't create. God is the creator. Anytime you hear a message about us being little gods, that person, when they go to receive an offering, tell them, just create some money. Amen. They don't create anything. There's one creator, amen, who created heaven and earth and everything that in them is. And He's the God of heaven and earth. And we honor Him. We're the creature. He's the creator. Praise God. Amen. So if you want to be in control and get up on a godlike level, I would suggest that you get back in the Bible and let God put you in your place. Because when God puts you in a place, it's the best place to be, where He is in control. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all your trust is in Him. I love the kind of faith that rests upon the Lord. So I don't want it all on me. If my faith wavers, I'm so glad His faithfulness doesn't. I'm glad for those constants in my life. Well, listen to me very carefully. Satan is called in the Bible devil. Everybody knows him by devil most of all. The devil made me do it, Flip Wilson said. Amen. It's almost become a cop-out for our own spiritual ignorance and irresponsibility. There should be more victory over the devil in God's house and among God's people. Amen? Amen. Devil don't make you do anything. Every man is tempted, not because the devil is overwhelmingly powerful, but because our flesh is so weak. And the commitment of our heart that would bring and rein in that flesh hasn't got to the level yet of devotion that it should be. You really fall in love with Jesus and get a deep devotion unto Him. If a man love me, what happens to he keeps my commandments. And in other words, he has a heart that is willing to obey. He wants to obey. He's not looking for loopholes. Can you say, Matt? He wants to, listen, a person that's deeply in love with God, he don't want a pastor that's going to water it down. He wants someone that's going to lay it out, because we have a heart to obey. We really, really do. But listen, in order to obey Him, you have to do something with your flesh. Paul said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air, but I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. Amen? You know, we just passed New Year's. A lot of people made resolutions. And one of the resolutions most everybody make while they're eating that ham and what is, you know, and all that stuff for New Year's celebration, ham and black eyed peas and hog jaws and all of the good stuff, soul food. I'm talking soul food. And while we're full, sitting there so full of all of this good food, we are so full we don't feel like we could eat another bite. We make a resolution to go on a big time diet. Can you say amen? While we're full. Amen. It's so easy. Amen. And we read in books and we read about this diet and that diet and we say, I'm going to do that. Boy, come the first of the year, man, I'm so full. I couldn't eat another bite. So I'm ready to diet now. When you're full and can't eat another bite, it's easy to think about, talk about, and even commit to a diet. But when the first day of the diet comes, and you're not full anymore, amen, and you start feeling in the afternoon, amen, that nutty buddy starts looking awful good, don't it? Can you say? We went on a diet one time and we got deep into this diet and I mean we were really into it, and I remember going over to a rack of books in a department store and I usually looked, you know, back then I was going to the gym and I was trying to do a little working out and I was kind of a gym rat and I got in, you know, I wanted to lose this weight and so we were on a pretty strict regimen at that time, and I'd go over, I'd look at the car magazines, I'd look at because I like some of them muscle cars and I'd look at the bodybuilding magazines and some of that stuff and while she's shopping. But I found myself over there, and you know what I was looking at? I was looking at cookbooks. I caught myself thumbing through a cookbook and said, boy, that looks good. Man, look at that chicken with that pineapple, this Hawaiian chicken. Man, look. And then there's a coconut cake over there. It went from the chicken to the cake. And I looked at that big old coconut cake. Oh, man, a spirit of Martha Stewart came on me. Hey, man, I wanted to go cook something and eat it. Kill and eat. Hallelujah. Because now I'm fasting. But in order to go to that gym and work out, in order to lose, I was 224 pounds, 5'6". And the pounds had no muscle in it. You understand, it wasn't muscle pounds. I was Pillsbury Doughboy big time. And because everywhere I went, they served me something, you know. And I wanted to be nice. And after 10 o'clock at night, the phone quit ringing. We lived behind the church. I called up that twofer, that place where you pizza. You buy one, get one. And then they had the deal. You get the big 2-liter Pepsi thing with it. And about by 10:30, they delivered that pizza. By 11 o'clock, I had my feed on. I had my eat on. And her son did it. He would order it, his fault. And then it's all my son's fault. He said, Dad, can we get pizza? I said, yeah, let's get pizza. We've had it. We got a, you know, it's the phone quit ringing. We can have a little peace and quiet. Let's enjoy. And anyway, everywhere I went. And I realized that discipline has to come from devotion. And devotion has to come from love. And I don't mean love of self. I saw people come in that gym that were just enamored with themselves. That's why they the mirrors are all over the place. And part of it is to make sure you do your bodybuilding correctly. Big power lifters, they didn't even look at the mirrors. They put cardboard and taped it over the mirrors. They didn't want anything to break their concentration. So there's the people trying to get pretty and the people trying to get strong. And it's two classes of people. But anyway, I learned some lessons in that gym about discipline. I learned some lessons during dieting. I learned some lessons during fasting. Amen. What that's all about, spiritual disciplines. And one of the disciplines that God teaches us in fasting is that you don't let your body or your mind tell you what to do anymore. You go by that God has planted and sown in your spirit. And it's not just showing God how, you know, some people, they fasted for the wrong reasons. Some of them fasted to be seen of men. They wanted people to applaud them. And others fasted to show how sacrificial they were. They still wanted man's applause. In both cases, Christ disqualified their fast. But those that fasted for the right reason, amen, he honored that fast. Praise God. And he said, even when you come to using the spiritual authority that God has given you, it doesn't begin with the authority over the devil. It begins with authority over your own flesh. Because these kind goeth forth only by fasting and prayer. It's not just taking authority through the name of Jesus. It's not just praying in perfect faith. It's taking authority over oneself. So every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Satan can only tempt. We have to give in to it. And a devoted life that brings a discipline to that life will bring a victory to that life. Because victory doesn't begin by taking authority over the devil. It begins by taking authority over your own flesh. Can you say amen? So Paul said, I buffet my body, I bring it into subjection. I sanctify myself daily. He said, in fact, it's come to the point, it's no more I that live. It's Christ that is now living through me. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil from that place of submission to God, and he will flee from you. Too many unsubmitted Christians are trying to win spiritual battles because of spiritual formulas that work only if you're totally submitted to Christ and his lordship. So if we're going to talk about spiritual warfare and victory, we're going to talk about the lordship of Jesus first. If Jesus isn't Lord and we're not submitted to God. By the way, I heard a teaching, and I hear all these teachings. It blows me away about the biblical spiritual illiteracy that goes on among so many spiritual leaders that are leading so many influences, so many people today. Tapes and books and preachings that are not really grounded in the Bible. People, I'm convinced some people have never read that book through. They don't have an overview. They don't have a context for the text. They're just pulling out texts and building doctrines on a text. And I've often said what someone else said very truly, that a text without a context is a pretext. You don't get truth from taking portions of the Scripture and lifting them out. You've got to leave them where they are. And the best verified scripture is other scripture. So we want you to understand a truth today. God wants you to submit your life to him so that you can walk in victory. He wants your heart solicited because you're loving him back for loving you. He wants you to make commitments out of devotion that bring disciplines, not out of just trying to do all of these things. The Bible literally said that they, the world, develop these disciplines out of their devotion for an earthly crown. They're motivated by the applause, by the glory that can be offered them in an earthly sense. Every time the Olympics come, I stand in awe of the discipline of those people. The things they do to get to that level, amen, is just incredible. The discipline. I thought all bodybuilders were just vain guys wanting to see themselves in a mirror until I understood the discipline involved. If they're going to make it up in those higher levels to where they got a shot at maybe endorsing some vitamins or something and doing this for a living, there is a discipline. Those guys, I mean, some of us have trouble fasting for spiritual victory. They don't have any problem, literally, cutting their food intake for the last 6 weeks before a contact test because they're 100% devoted to winning. And they develop discipline. They're doing it for a corruptible crown. Whatever they get in terms of endorsements or allocations or applause, it's going to pass away. It's a corruptible crown. Paul said we should be far more motivated and disciplined than they are because we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. We're doing it for the right reason. What happened to you? What has God done in your life? I just want you to tell it. It's testimony time. I'm going to stop and let you testify. Yeah. Tell us what happened to you. She was ready a while ago. I threw this on her now. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I didn't even know this side of the fence was so much better.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah.
On this side of the fence.
Yes.
Because that side I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's dark over there and I don't like the dark.
Yeah.
Even though I was in the dark, still find myself by the curl of light. But my stuff was here.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We just had to stop and let that come forth. Praise the Lord. You have, and I have, a flesh to contend with. We're told to crucify. That's what God tells us to do. We all know that's what the Word says. But unless you really fall in love with Jesus, you're going to try and fail, try and fail, try and fail. All of the gifts of the Spirit, amen, none of them take the place of love. Love. The greatest of these is what God has. Everybody say top shelf. That's top shelf. The greatest of these. Amen. Covet earnestly the best gifts. We don't do away with them. We don't disqualify them. We just don't put them on top shelf. Because God didn't put them on the top shelf. God put love on the top shelf. He said covet earnestly the best gifts. But I'll show you a more excellent way. Can you say amen? And he goes in, Paul starts talking about love, qualifying or disqualifying all of those gifts. Can you say amen? And then he said, love bears, follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. But now he's going to take out of those three and put one on the very top shelf. Can you say amen? Follow after faith. We've tried to put faith on the top shelf all over the place. Especially if we believe that faith is going to somehow get us what we feel or we desire or we believe is God's will. Really, faith is only authorized to be used in a posture of full surrender. Can you say amen? Doesn't start with I'm believing you for this, I'm putting my faith out for that. It starts with hallowed be thy name, Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, the kingdom is first, thy will be done. Can you say amen? In earth as it is in heaven. The mask, listen, it don't take a lot of faith to get God to do what he already wants to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But you got to really try to pump up some faith to try to force God to do what's not in his will. And there's not enough faith in the world to make that happen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My faith works when I'm fully surrendered. And I have trouble with it when I'm not fully surrendered. You know the reason? Because I may be believing for something that I'm so sure is God, and all of us have probably been here at some time. I'm learning, amen, that my will and his will sometimes are going to come in conflict. And I'm learning that I can be wrong, but God is never wrong. And I'm not going to give the devil credit in the presence of a sovereign, holy God that has power over heaven and earth, amen, for keeping doors shut that God truly wants to open. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is the door God has opened for this ministry right now. Amen. The devil's not holding the door. Amen. When God, listen. The Bible said, I will open a door. Christ said, I've got this kind of authority. I will open a door and no man can shut it. If I'm the one that opens it, nobody can shut it. On the other hand, if I'm the one that's closing it, no man can open it. Amen. So what it says is that faith has to bow and surrender and acquiesce, amen, to the sovereign will of Almighty God. Amen? And when it does, then doors open that he is truly in. And you don't judge it by whether or not you have everything just flows beautifully. Paul said, a great and effectual door is open to me of the Lord at Ephesus. Guess what came along with that God was really in? And there are many adversaries. There's much adversity. Can you say amen? We're a little church here, but there's much adversity. Amen. I mean, the devil don't let up. I have to put on my armor when I get up in the morning before I put on anything else, because I know there's going to be discouragements here, distractions there, and they just keep pouring on in. I'm waiting for that gap. I'm waiting for that, you know, that in between where I just kind of, you know, just kind of cruise along for a while. But so far, the gap hasn't come. But it's keeping me on my spiritual toes. It's keeping me, we used to say, keeping my records bright, watching both day and night. Amen. Praise God. Well, I get up in the morning and I look for my sword. I get up in the morning and I look for my shield. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I get up ready to run this race like you're talking about. Amen. Run for us. Run. Amen. Listen, I want to run with patience the race that is set before me. Somewhere in Africa. Last night, whenever it was night in Africa, a lion went to sleep in the jungle, the mighty jungle. The lion went to sleep. And somewhere in Africa, you know what? An impala went to sleep. I'm not talking about a Chevrolet either. I'm talking about what they named it after. Can you say amen? An impala went to sleep. And at dawn, the lion woke up ready to run. Woke up ready to run. Didn't wake up to see how he felt or where it's going to rain or the sun's going to shine or whether he had his back leg was kind of aching. No, he woke up ready to run. And guess what? The impala, he woke up ready to run too. Can you say, man? You know why? Because if the lion isn't ready to run, he's not going to eat and he's going to die. And if the impala don't run, he's going to get eaten by the lion. Can you say, man? So whether you're a lion or an impala in Africa, you wake up ready to run. Can you say amen? Paul said, you need to get up ready to run this race. Praise God. So lay aside, amen, the sin and weight that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Can you say amen? The devil is counting on us not being ready to run, because you got to run to win. You can't just sit in church You got to be ready to run. The black man that broke the record in the Olympics some years ago from Africa for the mile so impressed me with his devotion and dedication. He wanted to bring honor to his nation. He wanted to bring honor to his race. He wasn't just running for his personal ego, but he's running for his people. He's running for his nation. And he said, if I win in the Olympics, I'm going to bring honor to my people. I'm going to bring honor to my race. And he got up every morning just after daylight. Before dawn, he got up. But just about daybreak, he ran every day of his life up, not a huge mountain, but up a grade. He ran uphill every morning. He didn't get up and try to see, am I sore? He didn't get up and say, do I feel like doing this? Amen. His eyes were on the prize. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Our eyes need to be on the prize. And I'm not talking about some earthly material thing that's going to pass away and you can't take with you.
That's right.
Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. Everybody say his eyes were on the prize. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Oh, honey, if you think that's a Mercedes-Benz, you're very wrong and mistaken. Can you say amen? If you think that's a Rolex, and if you got a Rolex, please don't be convicted this morning. It's okay if you've got a Rolex. In fact, I wish I had a church full of people with Rolexes. Because if you could afford a Rolex, I can't wait to see the tithe. Or the offering. Whatever. Did you hear the guy that was on a desert island with another guy? And they'd been out there for 30 days. And they don't have any water. And they don't have any food. And it feels like they're just going to die. And the one man says, we might as well to give up and die. We might as well to give up and die. There'd been a shipwreck and two of them had floated to this desert island. There was nowhere to go. The little old raft they were on couldn't take them anywhere. And they were both out on this desert island. The other said, we might as well just give up and die. Nobody will ever find us here. And the other guy says, oh no, I'm not giving up. I believe with all of my heart that help is on the way. I believe any minute now a helicopter is going to come, boat's going to come, something's going to come and find us. He said, because I own a large company and I tithe $10,000 a month to my church, and my pastor will find me. He's got him out looking for me. Gonna find him. Da, 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 da. I'm gonna find him. Been searching. Listen to me. The prize of the high calling. I want to identify the prize. It's all about this loving God and letting God love you. And we'll get into this message a little bit later because it's too late to go back to it right now. But I believe God's got us going where he wants us to be headed this morning. The prize of the high calling. Amen. Paul wasn't after, clearly, something in this material, passing world. Paul, listen, the high calling, the high calling. Everybody say the prize of the high calling. You listen, you got a higher calling than just to become rich and famous. Amen. You got a higher calling. Amen. Your calling is to bring glory to your King. Amen. To represent your the kingdom of God in this world. To be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In fact, your calling is to become more and more like Him. Until when He comes in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, we're not only going to go up, we're going to be changed. And corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And mortal is going to put on immortality. And our vile bodies are going to be fashioned after His glorious body. And when we see Him, we're going to know Him because we're going to be like Him in that respect. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to this scripture. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Now there are promises that are wonderful. But there are promises that go beyond wonderful. They go into excess and greatness. Something beyond anything the material, physical world. Listen, the promise of God to heal you, it's a wonderful promise. I was healed of leukemia when I was 8 going on 9. And I'm so happy that it took. I'm so happy that God did it. I'm so happy it wasn't psychosomatic. I'm so happy that the cancer's gone. And here I am, 63 years old, a living, breathing testimony to the power of God. And the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe them. I'm glad for the promise that God has given me to never leave me and never forsake me. The promise of His fellowship and His presence in my life is a precious promise. But there are promises beyond those promises. I'm glad for the promise of deliverance. Can you say, man, that He will give His angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot upon a stone, because they will bear us up in their hands. What a wonderful promise from God. Hallelujah. But it's not the one that the Bible is talking about when it said that whereby are given to us, amen, promises that are exceedingly precious promises. Amen? Amen? Whereby are given to us exceeding precious promises, whereby we become partakers of the divine nature. How many Christians are seeking to partake of the divine nature, having escaped through that attitude and that pressing forward, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? Can you say amen? That's when you would rather have Jesus than silver and gold. You'd rather be His than own riches untold. You'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands, and know that you're held in His nail-pierced hands. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's when the values change. The prize of the high calling that Paul was after. He said, I haven't attained. I haven't got there. My whole life will be reaching for that. And because of that, I'm motivated every day of my life, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to that as of before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. It goes against the culture. It goes against my own fleshly lust. But my spirit yearns for what I'm after. Hallelujah. And I'm overcoming the world and the flesh and the demonic temptations that He dangles before my flesh, because my spirit yearns for this more than my body yearns for food. Hallelujah. You know what Job said? He said, I've esteemed Thy word more than my necessary food. Amen. It's more vital to me than my bread and my butter and my biscuits and my gravy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If we'd get as hungry for God as we get to fill our bellies, oh, what a revival we would see in the church of Jesus Christ. The prophet said, I'm so hungry, Thy words were found. I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of this comes through deep devotion. I can teach disciplines. I can teach all this stuff. But without devotion, it's not coming. The young black man that broke the record at that time, and I think it's been broken since then. They keep getting better and better at it. But the reason he ran the mile and broke the record for the mile is because he was running in the disciplines that was necessary to win came out of a devotion in the heart. And Paul said, when you see that out of people who are in the sports field or in these field of athletics, they do it for a corruptible crown. We as Christians are doing it for something that is incorruptible, something that won't pass away. And if they can do it for that's going to pass away, we ought to be able to do it for that'll never be taken from us, to bring glory to our King, honor to His kingdom. Can you say, man, I'm not running just for me anymore. I'm running this race to bring glory and honor to my King. I really want to leave a legacy. I want my daughter-in-law called me the other night about 10 o'clock, and she wanted prayer. Listen, you got to understand, this is not the way this dysfunctional family functions. Can you say, man, this is not the normal dysfunctional stuff. This is a cry out to God. She put on Facebook, this is people you don't expect it from. On the Facebook, you should listen to my father-in-law's broadcast on WMAF and gave the time because he talks about Jesus. It is wonderful. This is coming from not my son who was a PK raised in church. This is different. Amen. What is that showing up? And then there's this Christian radio station. I love this song from this on the net Christian praise and worship music, in loop where you no commercial and listen to praise and worship. Then we're praying and I'm telling her about her need for Jesus and what Jesus can do and how she needs to surrender her life to the Lord and He can help her through all the things that she's facing. And then she's saying, would you pray for me right now? And we prayed together. She didn't yet pray the sinner's prayer, but she's just, there's a drawing. This is not by might nor power. Did you know what precedes that? There's a lampstand preceding that. Amen. There's a lampstand preceding all of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where the oil is creating the light. Not the enthusiasm or the anointing on a person, but the Holy Spirit Himself is at work. Can you say amen? The Lord of the harvest is already at work. We're not asked to do His part. We're asked to go out and reap it, to bring it in. Praise God. It's not by might nor power. Except His power and might. It's by His Spirit where all His might and power is concentrated, saith the Lord. That great Welsh revival. Do you remember the man's name? I keep forgetting his name. Evan Roberts. He's kind of accredited for being the leader. And actually, he walked into it. Evan Roberts walked into that great Welsh revival. Coal miners were fasting. Working in a coal mine. And fasting, hard labor, and fasting for a move of God. And when the move of God came to those British Isles, when it came, it hit them like a wave. It hit them like a wave. Nobody brought it. It just hit them like a wave. Evan Roberts was asked to come and preach. He was delayed. In his own testimony, he got there late. It was after 10 o'clock at night. And when they came to meet him, when he got there, however he got there, it's after 10 o'clock at night, and he said, well, I suppose that we will begin the services tomorrow night. And they said, oh, no. He said, what do you mean? He said, they're at the church. He said, well, what are they doing? He said, they're waiting. It's after 10 o'clock. They're there. They're not going anywhere. They're waiting. What are they waiting for? They're hungry. Something is beyond the body's need to rest and all of that. Listen, they were so hungry. It'd been so long since truth had been brought to Israel from Malachi. These years had passed between Malachi and Matthew in the Bible. That great separation where there was a famine. Amen. Not of bread or water, but for hearing the word of God. Israel quit listening. God quit talking. I said, when Israel quit listening, God quit talking. What is there, 400-year gap? 400-year gap. No prophet with a word from the Lord. A lot of priests, a lot of religious activity, but no real word from God. A lot of priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, religious worship continued, but God isn't talking. Till old John came out of the wilderness. Can you say amen? There was a hunger. When Jesus sat down and taught them, and there was no phenomenon, there's not one recorded miracle while He was teaching. Come on, that didn't draw them in. That didn't suck them in. Amen. They were hungry to hear from God. Hungry to hear from heaven. Dead religion couldn't feed their hungry souls. Can you say amen? But when Jesus came, dead religion was gone. And the living Word came and walked among them. The Word made flesh walked among them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible said when He sat down on that mountain to teach them, praise God, where the Beatitudes were brought forth, He sat down and taught them there. Praise God. And the Bible said for 3 days, Sean, 3 days, amen, they didn't go eat anything. They went without food for 3 days. There was no one serving them. That's why the miracle of the fish and loaves came about. Because for 3 days, they didn't break for lunch. They said, what he is saying. Let me tell you something. We're 5 minutes after 12, and I'm getting ready to close, and we're going to have communion. Not because it's 5 after 12, but because I could go all day. And I know you're hungry, but I don't think you're that hungry just yet. But listen to me. And I don't even know if I'm up to it, to tell you the truth. This is the anointing right now. Praise God. The real me is going to plop in that car and drink some orange juice. You bring me any orange juice? I'm counting on that. My sugar level. Hallelujah. Get me back up. He's got my back. All right. Somebody's got to have it. Praise God. Listen to me. That hunger, that thirst for righteousness. Hallelujah. For 3 days they sat and didn't eat. Why didn't they break to go eat? Why didn't they do that? Why did they sit there and hang on? Listen, no miracle. No miracle. What brings them in today? The cross? The Word of God? Something's got to trigger something. Their enthusiasm is driven by some phenomenon, not by Him and His Word. 400 years. They hadn't heard from heaven. Can you say, man, religion had become nothing more than ritual. Jesus came, John came first as a predecessor. Amen. And when Jesus came on the scene, he acquiesced, I must decrease that he might increase. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And he brought a word from God. He brought the word of God. And they were so hungry. Amen. They began to feast upon it. Amen. And they fed their souls for 3 days. And the wonderful thing about the kingdom being first and the word being that way in their life. Amen. He said, I'm not going to send you away without the things your body needs. Can you say amen? And he worked the miracle of the fish and loaves to feed them. But the miracle, in fact, when he turned the water to wine, people were following him, amen, for the fish and loaves. And he said, you're following me, amen, for the fish and loaves. You're following me for another grand meal, another big banquet. You're following me for something just that has an immediate effect on your flesh rather than something that has an eternal effect on your spirit. There are certain blessings of God that people are just seeking to gratify a feeling. They're not after the prize of the high calling. What is the high calling? For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that doesn't just involve getting deeper revelations. That involves suffering. Thank you for the hearty amens. First Peter 4, verse 1, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Oh, does that mean I'm going to have to just go out? No, that means your flesh is not going to get its way. Amen? What did Jesus pray? Not my will, but thine be done. My flesh don't get its way. Is there any other way? Let it pass. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also Christ the Lord. Arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh, guess what? Has ceased from sin. If I don't give in to my flesh, then I'm not going to be led away of my own lust and enticed. My flesh says, I want that. My God and my reborn spirit says, but you're not going to get it. My flesh says, I want revenge. Uh-huh. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Uh-huh. And I say out of my reborn spirit that wants to obey God, not my will, yours be done. Hallelujah. My flesh suffers, But my spirit wins and my God reigns. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He that's, oh, don't get this suffering in the wrong. It doesn't mean letting the devil trump on you. It doesn't mean being bound. It means getting set free on a level that many of us has never known. It means getting on the right side of the fence, praise God, where the lights are bright and you feel like running. God restored Israel. They said they were like calves out of the stall, young calves out of the stall. They were just running and kicking up their heels. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Everybody say young calves out of the stall. Been pinned up wanting to run. Praise God. Turned out into acres of pasture where they want to. Have you ever seen a young calf kick up their heels? They just got so much joy and energy. I know some of you older people don't identify anymore. Amen. But you do? You ever felt that way? Amen. I may not kick. You kick them up on the inside, Sister Venable. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes when the Lord really gets a hold of me and I have a Holy Ghost hissy, amen, I get up the next morning, my hamstrings are just sore. Man, I, if I knew it was coming, I'd have did some deep knee bends. Get ready for it. What are you doing, Brother Venable? I'm getting ready for church worship service. Loosening up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be like a calf out of the stall. Praise God. Paul said, I got something, amen, that is driving me. Amen. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Whereby by these you might what? Partake of the divine nature. This is not about Rolexes and Mercedes and houses on hills. This is about the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Paul said God is calling me to a higher calling than just to get a bunch of stuff and compete with this world. I'm after something this world don't know nothing about, can't appreciate. I'm after the real riches of Jesus. Every minister, regardless of his title, is called to help achieve that in the body of Christ. For God has set in the church the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, five of them. Gifts to the church that we might what? That we might deem no more children, that we might come to the unity of the faith, to perfect that that's lacking in our faith. That's not, again, building your faith for stuff, but to get your faith developed so you can go after what God has put on the top shelf. Amen? Yes. Till we all come to the unity. We all come and we realize we're all helping each other toward the same holy, divine, eternal purpose. Till we all come to the unity. No more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I go in a Christian bookstore and there's one book that every book in that store, if they could come alive, one book would be standing in the middle and every other book would be bowing before. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. This book, amen, will not get you earthbound. This book will not get you seeking the things of the flesh. This book will not get you minded like the world. This book will not teach you to be self-indulgent. Can you say amen? This book will tell you about something better than anything in this world. It will never compete with this world. It will stand above it. It's high and it's holy. And you got a higher calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. What is the prize of the high calling? The prize of the high calling is nothing less than the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. That is the high calling, and the prize of it is when that becomes fully realized. And we will pursue that until He comes, and when He comes, we're going to be changed. And that we've struggled with, we won't have to ever struggle with again, that old weak flesh. Can you say amen? Because corruptible, that can be corrupted, going to put on incorruption. And that can die will put on that can never die. And our vile bodies shall be fashioned after His glorious body. And one that He came up from that grave with. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That we no more live our life to the will of the flesh. Here's that acquiescence, that surrender, that submission, but to the will of God. If you start following Jesus, amen, in the volume of the book it is written, I came to do thy will, O God. My works are not mine, but what I see you do. Amen. My words are not mine, but what I hear you speak. Can you say amen? I want to hear God speak on Sunday morning, Sean. I want to be bound to an outline or bound to church tradition. I want to hear what God is saying in my heart, and I want to speak as an oracle of God. I want you to hear from heaven. I want you to hear from Him. Because if you hear from Him, it can change your life. Hallelujah. And the purpose of Holy Communion is that we can literally begin to take on that attitude, go after that pride. Because we value Him so much that we desire Him more than our own way. Delight thyself in the Lord. He will give you the desire of your heart. When I first read that, I thought, we got to get our praise on. We got to really get our dance on. We got to show. Delighting in the Lord is not just the physical posture of worship. It's the attitude of the heart that said, I want to please you more than I want to please me. It happens when you really fall in love with somebody, anybody. When I fell in love with my wife, I didn't just drag her to a movie I liked. I really cared about pleasing her. It was real love. I wanted to, listen, I didn't just want to go eat what I wanted. I wanted to please her. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. Actually, it came to the place that they finally wrote a song about it. Second chapter of Acts wrote a song about it. Pleasing you pleases me. That's called delighting yourself in the Lord. When pleasing Him pleases you, you're delighting in Him. And the reason He's going to give you the desire of your heart is He knows it's not going to be selfish, self-serving, self-exalting. Amen. It's going to be that pleases Him. And God is going to... Prayer, listen, we've taught that faith is a do-all. It does it all. It doesn't. It's the attitude of the heart where faith can be used properly. We ask anything. This is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will. He hears. Faith is not what makes Him listen. His will, bowed to, is what bends His ear to you. Can you say amen? Amen. We ask anything in faith believing. Whatever you ask in prayer believing, Jesus said that. But then He teaches you about prayer. How are you supposed to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. This is not praying each prayer. It's a pattern for all prayer. These elements should be in all prayer that is prayed. Amen. And how does it begin? Acknowledging you got a daddy in heaven. Father in heaven. What does it go to from there? Before you ever get to asking for anything. Hallowed be thy name. You worship Him. He's your daddy, but He's not your old man. Can you say amen? Hallowed be thy name. What's the next verse? You haven't asked Him for anything yet. You bowed before Him, acknowledged Him as your God and your Father. And then you say, your kingdom come. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't get to ask anything until I bow to Him and acknowledge His will, His eternal purpose, His kingdom. You know what a kingdom is? It's not a mystical thing. It's the rule and the domain of a king. However far a king has full, absolute authority, it's called his kingdom. Can you say amen? So in my heart, your kingdom come. And in my life, your will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. Praise God. Now, give me this day. Give me my daily bread. Give me all these other things. Can you say amen? But now I'm bowed. I'm surrendered. Praise God. I'm delighted myself in the Lord. He's going to give me the desire of my heart, because the desire of my heart is His will and His eternal purpose. I don't like the process I go through. I don't like being humbled. I mean, I don't want to walk in pride, but I don't like being humbled by trials and tests and people that talk about you and break your heart. I don't like it. I like to be loved, appreciated, hugged. I need a hug some Sundays. Can you say amen? From the congregation. But everything that puts me in a place of humility before my God, when I cry out in desperation for His grace and mercy to sustain me, brings me into more of a Christ-like state than any of the grand victories and mountains that I've ever stood on. He learned obedience through the three things that He suffered. And if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. And that's not just when He comes in the future kingdom. The Bible said we will reign in life by Jesus Christ. And you know what reigning is about? That means your spirit that's been reborn begins to control, not your flesh that is weak and subject to temptation. We start saying no to the devil, no to the flesh, no to the world, and yes to His Lordship. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then victory, victory shall be mine. Can you say amen? And it's real, genuine stuff. Hallelujah. And the only thing that can bring those disciplines is a devotion. And the only thing that will bring that devotion is an appreciation for Jesus. And communion is part of either kindling or rekindling that love. We're to be rooted, grounded in love. Rooted and built up in Him, but rooted and grounded in love. And if we achieve that here, that revival, that Spirit-driven revival is going to come here. We're going to come in here excited over Calvary, every single service. Thanking Jesus with a thankful. I don't matter what kind of week we have. See, the cross is a constant. Your weeks are going to be, Lord only knows. I'm glad I can't see next week, because it might ruin today, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the day. Amen. I'd rather God take care of that. I don't want to look too far into the future. If I had seen all that's on me right now coming, I would have run like crazy. I would have moved to Alaska and changed my name. Somebody said the other day, because of what's happening to all these lotto people getting fouled up, he said, if I win the lotto, I'm moving to Alaska and changing my name. I said, you already told us where you're going to go. We'll find you. Because the same guy said, if I win, I'm going to build you a new church. I said, I'm coming to Alaska. I'll find you. I'm like that preacher in that island. Can you say, I will find you. We'll get Ren 10-10 on you, buddy. We'll hunt you down. Amen. Or some dog. Amen. God is so gracious and so good. I'm glad I'm learning that what helps break down my flesh and my ego and my pride and keeps me in a place of, many times it takes brokenness. Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. But for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, because He said, not my will, but yours be done. And the love for us and the love for His Father held Him tightly to that cross. Hallelujah. And my love for Him is beginning there to hold me tightly to that cross. I bear it with joy, not with sorrow. My flesh aches and breaks, but my spirit soars with Him. If you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. And you're going to reign in life through Jesus Christ, whom you love and you devote to. I love you today. I am so glad to be here. I told my wife, I said, there's some churches, I'm so glad I'm not the guest speaker. I'll tell you one thing for sure, that pastor does not have to worry about me stealing any sheep. Please stay right. If you're not hungry for God, just stay right where you are. Don't budge. Can you say amen? But if, and I don't want anybody. I want souls. Praise God. We got enough sheep to win souls and to mentor them. I told Brother and Sister Taylor, went to the gravesite with me yesterday, and I told them, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you folks are here. I'm glad Sean is here. I'm glad all of you are here. I'm glad Doug is here. I'm glad the people that God has put in here, the prayer warriors, people that can be mentors, people that can teach, people that can help others. You're not here just to sit and listen to me. You're here to help. Amen. This ministry achieve what God has called it to do. I can't do it by myself. God sent people with callings and anointings and particular gifts here. Amen. And we want to see people come in and give their heart to Christ. And we want to mentor them, and we want to teach them. And the older ladies in the Lord, not just in years, amen, are to teach the younger. Amen. And the men are to take young men under their wing. And we're to help one another. Praise God. You're a mentor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, bless him. Give him wisdom, because people need the information that we can give. And they need the inspiration that we can give. And you said you got friends on this side of the fence now. You're not trying to stand on your own. Got people pray for you, pray with you. You're part of a body. You're hooked up now. And we're all moving in the same direction. The fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Hallelujah. And even when we suffer, amen, we count it joy, because we know that God is going to sustain us. Grace is going to be sufficient. And when we're going to come through that trial, there's going to be less of us and more of him on the other side. Can you say amen? Only thing that burns out in fiery trials is the dross of old weak flesh. But what emerges, amen, is that new man that God is working and forming and fashioning. That's why it never gets old. There's no plateau. There's no stopping place. We continue onward and upward in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I want to give you one thing before we go to communion. I am not there yet. So if you're looking at me as the fullness of the measure of the stature, I am clearly not the fullness of the measure of stature. Here's a news flash for you. No one in this room will achieve the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Nobody's going to be just like him. But that's where God is going to point us, move us. The fivefold ministry is designed till we all come, the unity of the faith. That means we're all reaching for that same thing in the faith. We all believe together for this. Help each other along in this, to the fullness of the measure, the stature Jesus. No more children tossed to and fro. Oh, I want that book. Let me get this one. Let me get that one. Oh, this man's got a revelation. Just get in your Bible and get on your face. I'm telling you. And then I judge the books. I looked at some yesterday in Christian bookstore, and I thought, boy, that's so silly. Why would anybody pay $14.95 for that silliness? And you can pick this up right here. And it's gonna lead you. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the book whereby we judge every other book. Amen. This is it. This is his word. I want to hear from his word, because I want his will in my life. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desire of your heart, because your heart's desire is now to please him and serve him and bow to him. Is that going to take away the joy of living? No, that's going to give you a joy that nothing that the flesh has ever given you can compare with. It's called joy, whom having not seen you what? You love. It's the love that creates this. Whom having not seen you love with what? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know what's so infectious to this world in terms of your testimony? That kind of joy. That kind of joy is infecting and affecting to the world about us, because they don't know where you get it. They try to get it temporarily out of a bottle or out of a needle or snorting it up their nose. You get it from God. Hallelujah. Without any of the drugs and alcohol and sin and mess. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It affects them. They see it. They wonder what has happened to them. And you have the privilege, if they ask, to tell them about Jesus Christ, what he means to you, what his death can mean to them. Amen. We're going to celebrate right now what Jesus has done on the cross. We're going to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're not going to look to him as a Daddy Warbucks in the sky, the Kris Kringle of the cosmos. We're going to look to him in a particular way, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Consider him who suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. We displace ourselves and we look at Jesus dying. And we say, Lord, I bow to no other but you. In Jesus' name, I want to be more like you. Not more like the world about me. More like the old me. I want to be more like you, Jesus. And in that melted heart, he comes and begins to mold it. And it's a lifelong process. And I'm glad I haven't arrived, because when you arrive somewhere, you tend to want to just sit down and take your ease. I have not arrived. So I'm pressing forward, forgetting what's behind and reaching forth to what's before. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Would you come and serve us Holy Communion? Number one.